Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. Katie, we have more developments in the spread of the Brazilian COVID variant, which initially had appeared to be reasonably well contained at the borders of the UK, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Just explain what's going on here.
Yes, so we know when it comes to the great unlocking, ultimately rests on several factors, and one of those is variants. So I think it's fairly troubling news this morning in the sense that an enhanced contact tracing effort is underway after the Brazilian variant of COVID-19 was detected. There are just a handful of cases, but I think what's really troubling the government is one of these cases was someone who tested positive for the new variant, but due to a failure to fill the form out correctly, they haven't actually been able to work out who this person is. So with the other cases, those individuals are self-isolating. Some are in Scotland, some are in England, but there was a rogue individual with the Brazilian variant. Now, while I think it is obviously worrying with new variants, I think we shouldn't get too ahead of ourselves because ultimately it's still a very, very small handful. And we've seen with the South African variant that was more cases of, that there was surge testing and other things. You can seem to get it under control. It doesn't mean this is about to become the dominant variant by any means. But I think it does touch onto a wider debate, which is the government has held really firm on the idea that they're not going to do quarantine hotels for everyone arriving in the UK. Scotland does want to do that, is doing that. And ultimately, Boris Johnson has resisted that. So at the moment, it's only high-risk countries. I think that things like this are going to increase that pressure because you already have Labour already saying, and just several weeks ago, that it should be for everyone, the SNP saying that. And I think things like this just add to the argument, would this be happening, you know, if XX hadn't been done?
James, Vaccines Minister Nadeem Zahawi was doing the broadcast rounds this morning and he had to defend the government's delay in implementing a lot of the stricter border policies, including quarantine hotels. Do you think ministers are going to move further on this?
I think you've already seen Keir Starmer saying today, oh, the virus doesn't travel on direct flights. This is the problem. This comes back to the, you know, do you remember the slightly absurd idea that people who lied on their form about where they'd been would be sent to prison for up to 10 years. It is this fear that basically if you have any flights coming into the country, people could go from a red list country to somewhere else and then fly in and make their way into the country that way. I mean, that is a concern. I mean, there is a kind of tension here, which is the more progress you make on your vaccination programme, the more nervous people will become about something that would upend that progress. Now, I think it's worth saying that the scientific consensus at the moment is broadly that the vaccines probably would prevent severe illness from even the Brazilian variation of COVID, but it might be much less effective at preventing mild illness, people getting infected in the first place. And so you get back to that question as to whether an outbreak of it could overwhelm the health service. I mean, there is a broader strategic question for the government, though, ahead of the summer, which is, do the government try, as their roadmap suggests, try and get kind of international travel going again? Or do they basically limit international travel very, very severely on the justification of kind of trying to preserve the domestic benefits of vaccination and the extent to which that is enabling them to open up?
And Katie, this week, Rishi Sunak is delivering his budget, and I don't think he would have expected to be delivering such a COVID-focused budget still a year on from his first COVID budget. What are we expecting the big flashpoints to be?
I think there's been lots of, pitch rolling in terms of difficult decisions ahead. And I think some of the measures being floated, I would be surprised if all these tax rises actually came to fruition. But I think we are going to get a handful. So we're hearing, you know, things like capital gains tax, corporation tax. I think the mood music suggests a rise in corporation tax is coming. And actually the focus in the Treasury is how you pitch that. You can still say if corporation tax only goes up by a small amount, you can still argue with we have one of the lowest rates. So I think that is something that we will likely see. But generally, I think some of this is to, you know, throw things out there and maybe it won't be quite as bad on the day as various reports have made out it will. But ultimately, I think we saw from some of Rishi Sunak's comments over the weekend, both in an interview with the Financial Times and also in his Sunday morning round, that even low mainstream, I think, Conservative Party opinion and economic opinion is that now is not the time for tax rises. They could stifle the economic recovery. Ultimately, Rishi Sunak is very worried about interest rates and the fact that these could even move slightly. So we are going to see a few things just to send that message to the markets that there is a path back to, you know, fiscal discipline and so forth. I don't think this is anywhere near a return to austerity in the sense of the David Cameron, George Osborne era. But it is about saying this emergency spending we've had throughout this crisis, this is a phase that is ending, probably a phase that Rishi Sunak would have liked to end a while ago, but really are coming out. So while you're going to see some things extended, I would imagine like furlough, these measures are being expended, but also here's the catch, and that catch is actually coming up quite soon. But there is better news today in the sense that I think the vaccine rollout, you're already starting to see how that is improving the economic outlook, with estimates of the fiscal hole in the budgets likely to shrink actually, and things could look a lot better. So that is helping the Chancellor in a way, but also probably not, because the better the economic outlook is, the more pressure from his party not to do things that are difficult.
And James, just on the pressure from the party, Tory MPs have not exactly fallen into line over the past few months on a number of votes. Now, Number 10 have made clear that the budget is obviously a confidence issue and that anyone who voted against the government on this would lose the Conservative whip. But are there Conservative MPs who are likely to be quite agitated over the next few weeks once the full budget measures have been unveiled?
I think there are a bunch of Tory MPs who are very opposed to any kind of tax rises. I think they would argue that it's too early in the recovery to be thinking about tax rises. Then secondly, on corporation tax, there's an argument that, you know, cutting it has raised revenue. And thirdly, you know, it's not a good post-Brexit signal to send that you are raising kind of business tax at this point. I think ultimately two things probably help it through. One is the fact that this is worth remembering, this is a tax on corporate profits, not a turnover tax. So essentially, the only companies paying corporation tax are companies that are doing well enough to be turning a profit. And then the second thing you talked about, Kate Andrews highlighted this in her write-up of the Chancellor's Sunday interviews, he did highlight investment allowances. And it is worth remembering that one of the ways that George Osborne cut corporation tax, the headline rate of corporation tax, but at the same time, he also cut back on investment allowances. I think if you had a bit more on investment allowances, that might make things a bit more palatable for people.
Katie, Labour has talked a lot about corporation tax. What are the other lines that the opposition is trying to push over the next few days?
Well, it's interesting because Rishi Sunak is getting plenty of flack. And last week, I think the Sun leader section was finding more praise for Keir Starmer. But that's not to say the Labour position is simple. And I think that we've seen Keir Starmer and his shadow chancellor, Annalise Dodds, criticised for a few of their measures. If you look at the shadow chancellor's interview yesterday, she would not say whether she would back the universal credit uplift as a permanent measure that has received criticism from the left of the party. And I think that the general push from Labour is that taxes could be needed in the future, but immediately now is not the time. I think what we've got to look out for when Rishi Sunak announces his budget is that some of these things could be staggered anyway. You announce them, it doesn't mean they're all coming in at once. So you could end up in a situation where Labour say they're opposing something and the Tories say they're pushing something, but the landing space is broadly in the same area. If that is the case, though, I think, again, it creates problems for Labour because there is this sense increasingly from some in the party, yes, on the left, but I think there are more voices that they need to be doing more to define themselves and they need to have that clear blue water between themselves and the government. And I think because Keir Starmer and Annalise Dodds are so keen to show that they are a party that can be trusted on the economy, they're not doing some of the bold things, but perhaps there is an opportunity if you look at the stimulus packages across the world, what Joe Biden is doing. They don't want to go near that because they're trying to repair the party's reputation on fiscal discipline.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you, James.